say to you is that we will go through books of the Bible, because the best way to interpret the Bible is to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter. So Pastor Buddy came into chapter 4 last week. I know he hit on the first 12 verses, but then he tied in the suffering of Jesus at the end of that, that concluded that chapter. So today, to be honest with you, this has been kind of a weird one to put together, because this is talking about my position in the church. This is talking about Pastor Greg's position, Pastor Cody's position. The Apostle Peter, through the Holy Spirit, thought it was very important that we know why God calls a pastor or a pastoral team to a church. You can read in the New Testament where literally Paul told Timothy and Paul told others, make sure that every church has pastors. And the setup used to be where you had apostles and prophets. So those were the spokespeople for God. And things changed over time to where you see the apostles handing the baton off to pastors. And so you can read through the New Testament where you have pastors at all of these churches. And so if you were here a couple Wednesday nights ago, last Sunday we had Pastor Buddy come in. Buddy is the pastor at Ava. Two Wednesday nights ago, I had Pastor Dennis McGinley come in. And Pastor Dennis pastors United Free Will over here in West Plains. And so you can see that we're following the New Testament pattern by what God had put in place. And what's interesting is this, as you go through the books of 1st and 2nd Peter, it's really interesting because Peter now talks to pastors and young men about ministry and what ministry is. You may ask, well, what does vision have to do with that? I'll be honest with you, I changed this sermon 5 times this week. I truly wrestled with this. Because when you talk about your own position in the church and where God places you and what you've been through, you have to be very careful to stick with the scriptures and not emotions that come up, okay? I've always been very transparent with all of you from the pulpit, and I always will be. When you are at a place for 28 years as pastor full-time, whether it be youth pastor, lead pastor, whatever, you will see the good, you will see the bad, and you will see the very ugly. It all happens, even in a church. People are people. So you can't control what people do. All you can do is work through that. And so, to be honest with you, I look back over that, and I just want to share the vision that Peter lays out for pastors and for churches as we walk through this. So, vision is real easy. There's millions of definitions out there for vision. Here's the one that when I read the Bible, I land on, and that is you're literally seeing what God is doing, okay? Vision is seeing what God is doing. You celebrate that, and then you also see what he's doing to lead into the future. That's a very powerful thing, because I can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't see what's going to happen tomorrow, but God already has. So there's some very powerful scriptures in the Bible about vision. Proverbs 29:18, the Bible is real clear on this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's a really strong scripture there. If you don't have a vision for your marriage, if you don't have a vision for your kids, if you don't have a vision for the business that God has put you in, if you don't have a vision for what God is doing through your life and in the church or in the community, you're going to perish. He will pass you by, and he will use someone else that's willing to be used. That's a really powerful scripture there. But then it says this. It goes on. It says, but the person that keeps the word of God, the law, happy is he. I mean, that's a big thing. I want the happiness of God and the joy of God in my life. And part of that is vision, being able to see what God is doing. Another version puts it this way and says this, when people do not accept divine guidance, when you know what the Bible says and you just push off the Bible and say, I don't care. When you don't accept divine guidance, the Bible literally says, and this is actually a very accurate translation here from the original, it says they run wild. So the same thing, running wild and perishing, both go together. But the person that sticks with God's word, man, there's joy in that. There's delight in that. So vision is throughout the Bible. When you look at that, what is the clear vision for the church? Well, I would say this, with what I read this week, and hopefully you'll catch this in your heart, it's not only for the pastors of the church and the deacons of the church, but it's for the entire church, that we would all humble ourselves so that God could move in a mighty way through our lives. That's where it starts, is humbling yourself. I've always said this, God doesn't want to hurt your pride, God wants to kill your pride. And that's true. I've watched him do it in my own life. Because there's been times I said, oh, look what I did. Or look what I accomplished. There's nothing wrong with that as you work hard. I get that. Because it would have never happened if you wouldn't have worked hard. I understand working hard, okay? But the issue is that everything we do, we give glory and honor to God. We honor Him and glorify Him. Matter of fact, if you're taking notes, I don't have the scripture up there, but 1 Corinthians 10:31 really lays it out. It says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And that about sums it up. And how do you do that? You have to start with humbling yourself. Okay, so as we look at this, number one, it's always about Jesus. It is never about a person in the church or a group of people in the church. It's always about Jesus. We can't change ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't deliver ourselves. We can't see into tomorrow. Only God does. So the important part is that when you look at this, everything always points to Jesus Christ. If the gospel, if you ever hear anybody that preaches and they don't preach about Jesus, and they take the gospel in a different direction than Jesus, you need to run away from those people. Because the gospel is centered around Jesus Christ. It is Jesus. So, again, when you look at this, it's always about Jesus. 1 Peter 5:1 says this, and again, I told you, we would not skip over stuff in the Bible. If you guys have been with us, when we went through the book of Luke, we hit every topic. I mean, and there were some hard topics in there that we had to hit. But we hit everything, marriage, divorce, adultery, homosexuality. We hit everything in the book of Luke. And when we look at this, 1 Peter talks about hitting every area of the church. 1 Peter 5:1 says this, and now a word to you who are elders. The word elder can be translated over as pastor, overseer, shepherd. It's all the same thing. So if you read through your Bible and you read where the Bible, where Paul is talking to shepherds, or Peter is talking to shepherds or elders or overseers, he's talking to pastors. And as you look at that church, I'll be honest with you, I look out today, I'm so honored. Beth and I, we've been here 15 years as lead pastors now. And I honestly, every week, just sit here and go, God, you've done so much. It's incredible what you're doing in people's lives and in the church, and what an honor it is to be a pastor. Now, I will tell you this, pastoring is not a fun thing at times, because any and every situation can come up in people's lives, okay? It's an incredible thing to see the melting pot of a church, everybody from different backgrounds, everybody raised different, everybody going through all kinds of different stuff, but yet all of us are at the same foot of the cross. We realize that we have sinned, we realize we need to ask for forgiveness, and we realize we need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. That puts us all in the same spot. And when you look at it, there's different positions in the church, but it doesn't mean that anybody's greater. And the problem is, in the American church, we've made it that way, and that's sad. And I'll talk on that just a little bit today. So he talks about elders, pastors, or shepherds. And notice here, Peter says that he's a witness. As we go down in this, it says this. It says, I too am a pastor. I'm an elder. Even though he was an apostle, he is also a pastor. He has a pastor's call and a pastor's heart. And he says, I've been a witness to the sufferings of Christ. I watched what Jesus went through firsthand. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. So what he's doing is he's saying, pastors, I want to talk to the pastors of the church. And then you'll see where he also talks to the young men of the church. And what he's telling this whole thing is, hey, God's got a call. God places people. And as you look at this, it's interesting. He addresses the pastors. And he also says that not only did he see the sufferings, but also that pastors and churches will suffer for the cause of Christ, because there'll be persecution. When you take a stand for truth, okay, when you take a stand for truth, I promise you, you'll get kickback. Okay? I saw a post yesterday. I wasn't going to mess with this, but why not? Is anybody with me? Let's have some fun. Somebody posted that we had a record in West Plains of 185 people that showed up to the No Kings protest yesterday here in West Plains. And I thought, you know what? I'm glad you posted that, because there's going to be a couple thousand people that show up to church on a Sunday morning, tomorrow morning, this morning, that's going to honor the King of Kings. So when you look at that, the world may do what they do, But we point to Jesus. We honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as you look at this, an elder, pastor, a shepherd is not just a title, but it is a call from God to oversee the church until Jesus returns a second time. And you're going to see today, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, but he's also called the Great Shepherd too. And I would tell you this, there's been a movement in America, and I'm sitting down on a stool today because I just want to bring this just from the heart today in a real relaxed, chill way, because when we talk about pastors, every one of you probably have names right now that come up that they were in controversy, they were in scandals, they were caught doing this or caught doing that, and it's sad because I've literally seen thousands of comments on social media that says, that's why I won't go to a church because of those pastors. That's why I won't go to a church because of what those people did. And when you think about that, we can make excuse after excuse. Okay? Not every pastor is a bad pastor. Is anybody with me? Not every Christian is a bad Christian. Not every school teacher is a bad school teacher. Not every coach is a bad coach. All right? Everybody gets caught for something in all areas. And when we look at this, what happens is when we start to talk about certain things in the church, people get a little squirmy because of the fact of all the social media stuff that's out there about all kinds of things. And we form a perception. I want to take a look back at God's word today. I've always been very transparent with you. My wife and I have and said, if you ever have anything that you need to come talk to us about, we have an open door. That has been since day one. Okay? That is on the finances of the church. That is on if you hear something about the church, if you have a question of something about the church, there is transparency here. We have our pastoral team, we have our deacon team. And then we've got leaders all throughout the church. So we're doing our best to follow the biblical setup of what God's got here. And what's interesting is, even though there is voting that takes place in a church to vote on a pastor, whether or not the church would like to hire them on or have them there, I will tell you this, a vote or no vote, God places a pastor in a certain place. And I've seen that. And Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says this, so guard yourselves. He's talking to pastors here. Guard yourselves and guard God's people. So that's something that a pastor needs to do. Feed and shepherd God's flock. Okay, that's what we're doing this morning. His church. Notice it says his church, not the pastor's church. Okay, it says purchased with his own blood. I didn't purchase the church with my own blood, and neither did any other pastor. There's been pastors that have laid their lives down for the church, okay? There's been intense persecution, martyrs, you name it. But as you look at this, it was Christ who purchased the church with his own blood. Watch this, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. That's not a voting issue, church. That's God putting someone somewhere to oversee the church. And I know that the churches have their system, but when it comes down to it, if God wants somebody there, that person will be there. And if God does not want somebody there, that person will not be there, period. God is God. Is anybody with me on that? And God places people and leaders at a specific spot for a reason. Times of suffering as a Christian and in ministry, leading the church is a rough deal on pastors, I will tell you. As I put down, and we're going to talk about in just a minute, the position of pastor is to oversee, care for by feeding the word of God and to equip the church. The pastor is an actual gift to the church to help you. Now that, I'll be honest with you, I almost pitched that verse out because that sounds really weird coming from a pastor telling you that. Is anybody with me? But look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 says, now these are the what? Oh, okay, I'll read it. Gifts. It should be up there. I didn't know if you saw that behind me or not. These are the gifts, okay, that Christ gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Listen, this does not mean what people have made pastors into. It is disgusting today to see that we have made pastors into superstars, that pastors have become dictators, okay? That this is the American church today. It's really sad. It's scary, actually. And what you have to look at is this. Paul says, listen, God gave pastors and teachers to the church to be a help to you, to help you and your family. Listen, I can't raise your kids, but if you'll bring your kids to church here, we can assist you and help you in raising your kids and pouring into their lives the word of God, praying over them. And it's a help. Does that make sense? Our kids' ministries, our youth ministries, all these things. It is a help to you so that your family can be the very best that it can be, so that you can be the very best that you can be. To have somebody there who loves you, supports you, prays for you. That's what that verse means. And instead, and I'm transparent, I told you, it is disgusting what ministry has made pastors into today. It's horrible. I watched one pastor at a conference walk out in an all-white suit, three-piece suit. They were singing, "How Great Thou Art" to God, and this guy walks out center stage just like this. Just like this on stage. And that was the speaker for the night. And I'll be honest with you, man, when I saw that, it disgusted me. I thought, what have we become? And I would tell you this, if you put a leader on a pedestal, they're going to fall eventually. Don't do that. Okay? Because we all have the same blood. The book of Acts says that all the human race has the same blood. Okay? It's the lifeblood within us. And we all need to make sure that we all humble ourselves and make sure that all of us see that we're all at the same foot of the cross. There's nobody more special in the church than anybody. Is anybody with me on that? Because that's what we've been taught. And I am talking about my position in the church this morning, and I'm talking about pastors. Some people have said, well, why have you taken a stance as a pastor against other pastors that have done things the way you have? Because the Bible's very clear. There are qualifications for a New Testament pastor to meet. And if those New Testament pastors don't meet those qualifications, they should not be in ministry. And trust me, I have felt like the Lone Ranger at times, my wife and I. I promise you. But they represent my calling. They represent how the position that God has put me in. And so the very first qualification of a pastor, obviously, is to give their lives to the Lord. Okay? The second one would be this, to be above reproach. That's the very first qualification Paul tells Timothy, is that pastors need to be above reproach. There is no scandals. There's no corruption. There's no gray areas on their life, or their family, or in the church. That's the very first thing. So you can see how easy it is that the American church has thrown that one out of the church. Above reproach means above reproach. It means you're living a life above the standard and with the standard that God has set so that you set the example. And church, I'll be honest with you, that's a lot of pressure for a pastor, for a pastoral team. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of eyeballs on pastors and churches, which should be. But here's the cool thing about this. Notice that the word elder means called, matured, or seasoned. So I had a question. What about young pastors? Well, you can't become a pastor unless you get trained up. So you have to start somewhere. So that's why you have the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, which give the qualifications of a pastor. As you're training new pastors when they're young, they can become mature through the training. They can become mature through the experience they have. And I want you to notice this. What's interesting is it says elders in there, pastors, verse 1. It doesn't just say a pastor. It says pastors, elders. That's plural. So every church should have a plurality of pastors in the church, not just one. Because that's very easy to become a dictator. Is everybody with me on that? I've watched it over and over again. Let me give you some statistics here. The average pastor, lead pastor, and associate pastor stay 3 years at their church. That's the average. The average youth pastor, worship pastor, and kids pastor, 18 months now. 2,000 plus pastors a month get out of ministry to never return again for every kind of reason you can imagine. But 2,000 a month, do the math on that. That's a lot of pastors every year. Sometimes it's more than that. And my point is this, I'm very, very excited about the pastoral staff at this church. I'm thankful that Pastor Greg and Jennifer have been here for 19 years full-time. I'm thankful that Pastor Cody and JC have been here for 10 years full-time. Church, I want you to think about that. That blows the average out of the water. And when you look at that, that's an incredible thing to have pastors that God places here to pour into your life and to do life with you for the longevity. How in the world can you be a pastor in a church for 3 years and then jump ship? I want you to think about that. You're just then, 36 months, you're just now getting to really know the people Because the first year is, they call it the honeymoon year as a pastor, which that's not true. It wasn't the case for us, all right? But I will tell you this. A lot of pastors will walk into a very good church, and everything's going really good. They call that the honeymoon year. And then the second and third year, they're really getting a grip on, okay, here's all the ministries of the church. Here's how this thing is. And then in 36 months, they jump ship. Think about that. Not only does that hurt the congregation, because you're trusting that leader. You're letting that leader pour into your life. You're letting those leaders pour into your kids. So I would say this. This is incredible. Between Pastor Cody and just Pastor Greg, that's almost 30 years of pastoral experience with just two of our pastors here at this church that pour into you and your family. I think that's awesome, church. Anybody else? I think that's great. I think that's a great thing to have in a church. So when you look at this, a pastor shares in the sufferings that happen in ministry because of the standard for the truth that must be upheld. If you don't have any, if your pastoral team is not standing up for the truth of the Word of God, I don't know why you're at that church. I'm being honest with you, okay? You have to take a stand on all of the truth. And yes, I know there's some things that I don't understand in the Bible. I sit there and scratch my head sometimes. But I know this, I'm taking a stand on everything that I know. And when you do that, God honors that place in that church. It's not easy being in charge of any and every situation that arises in people's lives. We currently have 250 plus families in our church here at Endurance at any given time. That's families, not people. Okay? That's a lot of people. So I will tell you, you would not believe what the pastoral staff has had to face at times, or what our deacons have had to face altogether with that. There's been a lot of things that can happen in a church. And the reason we have the Bible is to make sure that we stay in the guidelines, to make sure that the church remains pure, that the church stays on target, and that the church continues to honor God. Because I would tell you this, Jeremiah 17:9 says that everybody's heart is very wicked and sick. And who knows the thoughts of it? Man, temptation can come towards anybody at any time. But when there's accountability, how many of you know that there's a lot of wisdom in a council of people? Can everybody say amen? That's the setup of the church. So when you look at this here, not just personally, but in all arenas, many things can happen. But I will tell you, over the 28 years that Beth and I have been here at this church, and then the 2 years in Arkansas, we have watched God be faithful. Okay? People, listen again. Please don't ever put anybody on a pedestal, because they will fall eventually. They can't stay up there according to your standards. That's why I want to remind the church today, everybody in this place, from the stage to the seats, to the kids' ministries, to all the volunteers, everybody is at the same foot of the cross. None of us would have salvation if it weren't for the foot of the cross in Jesus Christ. And church, that's where we need to go back to, is the American church, not superstars. See, Peter says this, I know all the suffering, I know all the pain, but watch what he says, 1 Peter 5:1, I too will share in his glory. All the suffering that ministry brings, all the ups and downs, everything as a pastor, Peter says, it's worth it all because I'm going to share in God's glory one day. And church, I will tell you, ministry is very, very rewarding, but it is also very, very hurtful. There's so many things that can happen. And Satan, I was just talking with Roger Williams this morning. Roger and Reba have been here for 35 years plus at this church. You talk about pillars of our church, my hats are off to them. I love them dearly. And they have set the example, the tone for this church. I love the pillars of our church that we have. And he said it best this morning. In one moment, Satan can take something that happens in the church and make it so chaotic and turn it. He's a master at it, at division. He's a master at offense. And as you look at this, one of the things that Jesus instructs as a pastor and a church is that we talk to each other. If there's something in a church that ever offends you, okay, don't just quit. That's not what the Bible instructs. The Bible says in Matthew 18, if somebody offends you, that you go talk to them. Go one-on-one. And if they don't listen to you, then take a couple friends. And if they don't listen to you, then take the pastoral staff in the church. That's three attempts to try to fix what hurt you or that offended you. And instead, the American model is, well, I'm offended at what somebody did to me or somebody said, so I'm gone. Listen, you're going to have to deal with that for the rest of your life. Because that's not the biblical model. The biblical model is if you get offended in the church, then you go talk to that person and say, hey, this offended me and my family. Or this offended us with what these people did. Then we sit down and have a powwow and we try to fix that. Is anybody with me on that? Because that's what the Bible says. Jesus in John 17 prayed for the unity of his followers. And as you look at that, what do you think the one thing is that Satan is after? The unity of the church. If he can turn people against each other, it will cause chaos and it will be division. And Satan just sits back and laughs at that. Look at what churches have split over the years. Carpet color, color on the walls. I mean, think about it, man. There's 70-plus churches in West Plains, and over 50% of those churches have had church splits from them in our own city. I want you to think about that. I mean, do you really think that was the plan of God? No. According to Scripture, he wants people to sit down and have unity, and that comes from what? Humbling ourselves. As a pastor, for 30 years, I have not gotten it all right, I promise you, okay? And as much as you think of my beautiful wife, Beth, she's not gotten it all right either. No, I'm saying not in a bad way. So some of you, I mean, honestly, when you think about it, I think of Beth doing life really well, okay? But I will tell you, we both have not done ministry perfectly because we can't. There's no perfect pastors. There's no perfect believers. There's no perfect church anywhere, okay? But if you look at the heart of the church and you look at the heart of the leadership and the people, if you filter it through that they love Jesus and they're giving their best, that's a pretty good filter to go through if something ever happens. Does that make sense? Because church, we're not perfect. Nobody is in here. I'm not going to tell you to look at your spouse and you tell your spouse they're not perfect, because I don't want you to have a bad rest of the day. But the fact is, there's nobody perfect in here. Some of you just looked at your spouse and said that. You're gutsy. Is anybody with me? Hopefully there's not a throat punch here soon, all right? But here's the deal. No matter what a pastor faces or no matter what a church faces, it's always about Jesus. And again, when you look at this, what's interesting is longevity pays off. When God plants you and places you somewhere, you see the reward. So number two would be shepherd the flock. What Peter talks about here in verse 2, he says this, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. He's talking to the pastors, okay? And when you look at what he says, watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. You want to know the heart of being a pastor is one, that you know you're called, but two, that you want to serve. I've always said this, and Beth and I live with this, and we live by this. We will not ask you to do anything that we are not willing to do ourselves. I'll give you an example. When we asked you to help build a home in Ukraine for our missionaries, my wife and I gave to that as well. My wife and I give to missions. My wife and I support the church. When we have a function, we are here helping set up. We're here helping tear down. We don't ask you to do anything that we're not willing to do ourselves. Because who would want to be a part of any type of leadership or a church that would do opposite of that? I wouldn't. Is anybody with me? Please don't be quiet on me this morning. This is already hard enough talking about this position, okay? So I just want you to see the heart behind it. Peter really lays this out. We're going to break this down. To care means the shepherd. You'll see the word shepherd in the Bible. It means to lead the flock, live amongst the flock, watch over the flock. And the word flock is church, okay? So you can put it as lead the church, live amongst the church, watch over the church, guard the church, and feed the church. A pastor's job, according to Ephesians, is to equip the church to go do good works. So it's a joy to preach. It's a joy to put messages together. I love it. I've been doing this for 30 years. And I've still not even touched the Bible. That's what's amazing to me, is there's so many things in the Bible that still continue to come out in an incredible way. And again, as we talk on this topic of pastors, how many of you honestly have heard me say this 3 or 4 times now? It is not about any person in the church. It is about Jesus Christ. Because as he places a shepherd in a church and shepherds, he is the good and great shepherd. We can't forget that. Watch over it willingly and not grudgingly. So this is a call. It's a call, because what happens is when you're at a church for any length of time, I will tell you this, you have a very good reason and opportunities to hold grudges, to be bitter, to become offended. People are people. It is what it is. And so Peter addresses that second of all, and he says this. He says, this is a call. So again, I put on there, there's over 2,000 pastors that quit their church every month. They get out of ministry not to return again. Why? Because people in life can be very difficult at times. And there can be personal reasons for them. It doesn't just have to be something bad at the church. It can be something personal they're going through. And life, finances, tragedy, all kinds of stuff. I will tell you this. I've been doing this for a while. Whatever happens in the church, if people would just sit down and talk to people, okay, I'm telling you, 99% of anything that happens in a church with people or a group of people could be fixed if they sit down and they talk and they truly pray over one another and say, how would God have his way in this situation? He could heal hearts. He could take offense away. I'm just telling you, that's how it works. But that's not what happens. And church, it's just a reminder today that this is not our church. This is Jesus' church. And he has called us to be saved. He's called us to live a life for him. He's called us to do this thing. And one of these days, he's coming back for his church. He's going to return a second time one day. The Bible's very clear on that. But when you look at this, the pastor is constantly the bullseye for anything and everything in the church. It doesn't matter what happens. If something happens in kids' ministry, guess what? It hits my desk as the lead pastor. If something happens in youth ministry, it hits my desk as the lead pastor. Okay? If something is said in the community about our church, it eventually hits my desk. It is what it is. How many of you guys remember The Titans? Is anybody with me on that? Great movie. Remember The Titans. Denzel Washington goes in. He's the new coach. And the former coach that was there becomes the defensive coach. And he made a comment. The defensive coach said, I'm gonna be over defense. I'm your defensive coach. I'm going to run the defense how I want. Denzel Washington, the head coach, says, listen, that's not going to happen. You run the defense as a part of our football strategy here. Because he said, everything comes back to the leader. It does. And church, I'm just telling you, no matter what happens in the church, it comes back to the leadership of the church. And many things have had to be fixed and dealt with. But then on the flip side of that, there's been so many good things. How many of you guys know life is a balance of good and bad? It's constant. And whether you're in a church or not, listen, I promise you this. I met a lady at a conference in 2018 that I went to here in Missouri. Her name is Julie Royce. Julie Royce is a Christian journalist and investigator on churches and pastors. It is heartbreaking to me that every week there are pastors and churches that are doing the most vile, evil, disgusting, scandalous stuff. It is everywhere. And I thank God for Julie Royce because she exposes that, calls it out, and then shares how that needs to be fixed. She brings accountability. And we're talking thousands of churches, thousands of pastors across the board, all the time. It's insane what's out there. And what the American church needs is accountability again. It needs to humble itself and say, listen, this is not our church. This is Jesus' church. And he has put us here to help be a steward of his church, to help raise up the next generation that will carry on the baton. I mean, I'm sitting here. Beth and I have been here for 28 years. The kids that we saw in kids' ministry, the youth that we had in our youth group, do you know that I've done their weddings? And do you know that some of them have already had kids and they've got kids in the church now? That makes you feel old. Is anybody with me? That whole cycle of watching that, and now those kids are in kids' ministries. I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, man, if Beth and I are, if God keeps us here as lead pastors, we're going to watch that whole cycle of all of those kids that were born in nursery and are in kids' ministry. We're literally going to watch them become the adults of the church and take over the church one day. That's incredible, church. That's pretty awesome. So the responsibility of the church is to steward the church well. As we look at this, I'm trying to give you the whole scope of pastoring in a real quick deal because he says, do it willingly, not grudgingly. So there's a lot of stuff that can happen in a church, I promise you. One of the frustrating things is if something does happen in the church with somebody and somebody picks up on it, that it doesn't get fixed in the church. It gets handled outside of the church by people talking to people. And it never gets handled in the church. If you know of anything like that, Please, please always have an open book to come and talk. B would be this, verse 2, not what you can get out of it. So when you look at that, there's two areas that the original comes from. That would be finances, and that would be spotlight. Let me walk you through both of those. Pastors know that this call is from God. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says this, and it puts it like this, yet preaching the good news is not something that I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. That's the calling in our hearts. Romans 1:15 says, so I'm eager to come to you in Rome too and to preach the good news to you. But here's the sad part, is if a pastor disqualifies himself, he has to live with that. That call is never withdrawn from him. That is why it is so important that pastors guard their lives, like Peter said, and that we look at the qualifications of a pastor. Because Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, for the gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Think about that, church. All the pastors that have been disqualified have to live with that. Does that mean that God can't forgive them? No, I've seen pastors screw up in a certain way, get restored with their spouse, and then God puts them back in ministry with their original wife. I see that. Okay? But if somebody cheats on their spouse as a pastor and they marry the other person, they're disqualified from ministry. Do you understand that? But yet American churches, there's American churches everywhere that are full of pastors like that. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. It has everything to do with being above reproach, meeting the qualifications. That's just one area. And when you look at this, the Bible is very clear. Don't disqualify yourself. And yet when we look at this on the screen behind me here in just a moment, you're going to see where, when we look at this, don't muzzle the pastor. Okay? Don't muzzle the preacher, the Bible says. What that means is this. Be very careful, okay, that as they're doing their work, that you don't do anything to harm that or stop that, and that I as a pastor don't do anything to harm or stop what you're doing with God. Does that make sense? It's working together. So let's look at what the Bible says. I'm not afraid to talk about this. 1 Corinthians 9:14 says, in the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18. Elders who do their work, or pastors who do their work well, should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. So when an ox gets ready to go and eat the grain, you don't put a muzzle on the ox's mouth because it can't eat grain. And so it's what it's saying to the congregation is, don't do anything to stop the pastors from what they're doing if they're doing a job well. Look at this other one. It's interesting. Galatians 6:6, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Okay? So when you look at that, the scriptures are very clear. But on the flip side of that, when you look at the opposite side of that, how many of you know out there, there are pastors and evangelists and ministries out there that are the biggest scammers you've ever seen in your life. And that was happening in Peter's day. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 10. He puts it this way. Oh, hold on. I got a slide for you up here. It says this. Look at the corruption, schemes, and evil that John and Peter warn us about in the Bible. And he warns us about false pastors. That's what we're getting ready to read here. And watch this. This is interesting. John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the good shepherd. I'm in charge. We know that. Jesus is in charge. And he says, the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf actually them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's just working only for what, church? He's not there to serve. And he doesn't really care about the church. And that is happening a lot today. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. And then if you fast forward to Peter, watch what he says in 2 Peter. He talks about pastors again, but he puts this way. He says, listen, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there are false teachers, which would be also preachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies. Notice he says cleverly. So they'll preach what sounds good, but it's actually really bad. And it says this, and even deny the master, Jesus, who had bought them. And watch it. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teachings and shameful immorality. Isn't it interesting that people put up with that in churches? I don't understand it, but it happens. And it happened then. And the Bible says, and because of these teachers, the way of the truth is slandered. Watch verse 3. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago. And watch this, their destruction will not be delayed. So I'm trying to be as truthful as I can with you as a pastor this morning, in the position of a pastor, that the Bible talks about that both sides of this thing. Be very careful, okay, to not get scammed by people. Be very careful to not be a part of something that is not about the heart of what Peter talks about as a pastor. And what's really interesting is this. It's not just that, but if you look at this, look at the screen behind me here, think about this. I mean, when you look at it, what this is talking about, it's not just finances, but it says also, what about the selfish motive of being in the spotlight or getting the attention? There's a lot of people that do it for that. And the Bible also talks on that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 says this, and it puts it this way. And again, when you look at this, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness or your public deeds before other people. Watch this, in order to be seen by them. Okay? And watch what it says. For then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. You don't do it for the spotlight. You do it because you're called, and you do it to help people. And watch this other one, James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. If you'll do this God's way, then God is the one who will give you the place of honor that you need. You don't have to try to scrap for the attention of it. And yet, I promise you, we could sit here all day long. And this is no exaggeration. I could show you YouTube clip after YouTube clip of the most disgusting things that are happening in churches and what pastors are doing to be the spotlight or the attention. It's horrible. And that's why we have the Bible to guide us with this. This is really interesting. So the other one would be this on C, 1 Peter 5:3. Don't lord over the people that are assigned to your care. And notice this. Did you notice that it says in there that are assigned to your care? That means that not only the pastor is placed at a church, but the people are placed in a church. Well, watch this. This is incredible to me. Again, when you look at this, don't lord over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. Church, if we could all have the same mentality, that it's not just a pastoral staff that is placed according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28 of the church, but you are placed here. That makes a difference on how things are worked out, doesn't it? Man, it's really quiet in here. I don't know why. Because I'm trying to be as truthful as I can with you. If you know you're called here, and I know I'm called here, if anything were to ever happen where I get offended or you get offended or other people get offended in the church towards one another, if you're called somewhere, are you not going to sit there and try to work that thing out the best you can? Because you're not going what? Anywhere. I want you to see that. Satan has had a heyday in the local American church by us doing opposite of what I just talked about. It's crazy, and it's sad, and it's heartbreaking at times. And when you look at this, 1 Peter 5:5 and 6 puts it this way, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, okay? And all of you, dress yourselves with what? He tells all of us now. All the pastors, all the people of the church, all of you dress yourselves with humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. That's not just for pastors, church. That's talking to all of us in here. It's interesting, when I was going through this, I've been in the circle of pastors for 30 plus years now. So I haven't seen it all, but I've seen close to it all. And I've been shocked. I literally have not known what to say. There's other times that I have celebrated with pastors because of things that happen in churches, and it's really interesting. I thought about this all week and prayed over it. Everything comes back to this. If the pastoral staff and the church humbles themselves, if everybody does that, can you imagine what God could do in that church? Everybody's on the same page. Everybody's working through things. Okay? And I promise you this, if you've been here for a long time, somebody's offended you in some way. I promise you. In some way or another, someone has offended you. Okay? And it is your choice to get that worked out or to live a life of bitterness and regret and offense. That's, if you have a chance to work it out and you don't work it out, that's on you. Okay? If I hear of something in the church happening, I am on it like that. I promise you. Because I want whatever is happening to get it fixed immediately so it does not have time to do something bad. Does that make sense? I hope you respect that. Because, man, we jump on it quickly. and we try to get things worked out. But I promise you this, even if you do talk, there's sometimes things don't get it worked out. People will do what people want to do. But I will tell you this, it has to start with us humbling ourselves. God has placed you here, okay? The pastor is to remain humble in the fact that Jesus is the head of the church as well. This isn't my church, it's not your church, it's Jesus' church. Colossians 1:18, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, he's the supreme overall. We understand as pastors here, we will give an account to the chief shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, and James even says this, those who preach or teach in the church will be judged way more strictly. You want to know why that is? Because the person behind the microphone or the person with the influence in the church could either lead the church astray or lead the church closer to Christ. It's a very dangerous calling when it comes to that. And when I stand before Christ one day, I honestly want to hear, well done, my good and faithful what? Servant. Because Peter said, pastors are to serve. But did you know that the church is to serve too? Listen, if it weren't for our volunteers serving in kids' ministries, we would not have a kids' ministries here. Period. We would not have a youth ministry here. We wouldn't be able to do the shoe outreach. We wouldn't be able to do Night to Shine. It takes a whole army of people together. And what's interesting is this. When you look at Hebrews 13:7-17, watch what it says about the leaders of your church. It says, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. It doesn't say to compound on the mistakes of the pastors, because I can tell you this, we don't compound on the mistakes that you make. And I promise you, both pastors and people in the congregation will make mistakes. And it says, think of all the good that each other has done. What you're doing is you're looking at the heart of the person. And you're saying, now, okay, they screwed up once or twice, but that's not who they are. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they misinterpreted something wrong. And it came out wrong. A lot of times it's such a simple fix. But again, when you look at this, it talks about, remember the good. I want to remember the good of all that you do. I don't want to remember the bad. Because God doesn't remember our bad. When you ask forgiveness, church, he forgives us. We need to remember that for one another too. Verse 17 of Hebrews 13, obey your spiritual leaders. This is not talking about that your spiritual leaders are dictators. Okay? When it says obey your spiritual leaders, it's talking about let them help guide your lives. Why would I want to see your family hurt? Why would you want to see my family hurt? That's not the way it works, right? So when it says obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say, you're listening to the help and advice from God's word that they give you. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them a reason to do this with joy and not sorrow. That would certainly not benefit you. I can promise you, if you were causing my family grief in the church, that's not going to benefit you very well. Is anybody with me? If I'm causing your family grief in the church, that's not going to benefit you in it well either, or myself. So the fact is, I love the scriptures. They're so point blank, and they keep us on target with what we need to be doing. So on the screen here, man, it's so hard not to go into scenarios of stuff. I just ask God to keep my mouth shut. Is anybody with me? But sheep are not supposed to bite the shepherd, and the shepherd is not supposed to strike the sheep. Okay? The shepherd, the pastors of the church, we are told in the Bible that we are to, when the wolf comes in, to not only recognize a wolf, but to take care of that wolf. So the shepherd strikes the wolf, not the sheep. Now, some of you may sit here this morning and go, well, I'll tell you what, I've heard a scenario where maybe something happened in the church and you guys had a meeting and I heard it didn't go really well. And it sounded like to me that the pastor struck those people. Or it sounds like to me that those people didn't want to work it out and they bit the shepherds. Listen, here's the deal. When you look at scenarios in the church, we do life together. So this is the principle here, that we are not attacking one another, but this is a family unit. That shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Back in the day, I mean, honestly, if a wolf were to come in or a lion, I'm talking a real wolf or lion, that shepherd was the only thing between that vicious animal and those sheep. I mean, think about that. What a picture of the church. And it's the same way. If you guys recognize something that's happening that shouldn't be happening, man, you're called here. Stand up for what's right. Speak out if you need to. Because I promise you this, wolves will try to get in. Man, I wish I had time. Here's the deal. Wolves will try to sneak in very quickly. I'm not talking about anything bad towards our church here if I had more time. But I've watched literally Satan literally send people to destroy this church, destroy the youth ministry. And I might talk on that a little bit next week. I could give you some stories that you would be shocked at here. That's what's happened by Satan sending people to actually have a mission to destroy this church and this youth group and kids ministries here. It's shocking. And when you look at this, we've got to understand here that 1 Peter 5:5 puts it like this. He says, in the same way, you younger men must accept the authority. All of you dress yourselves in humility. That's where it starts. And then Paul talks to the church at Ephesus, and watch what he tells the Ephesians in 4:3. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together in what, church? Peace. There's no time for biting or striking. Okay? Jesus is going to come back. And I promise you this, Satan's main goal of the church, if he can cause division and chaos, why would anybody outside of this church ever want to come and be a part of that? That's exactly his MO. That's exactly his mission, to cause such chaos in the church that people on the outside hear of bad things that are happening and they're like, that's why I don't go to a church. That's why I'll never attend a church. I hope you hear my heart today. I don't want to see this church fail. I don't want to see any of our pastors fail. I don't want to see any of your families fail. And the only way that's going to happen is if all of us humble ourselves and say, God, would you keep all of us humbled in this place and use our lives in a powerful way? Because I will tell you, your stories are amazing to me. I've sat down and heard your testimonies, many of you. It's incredible that you're even in church. It's incredible that you're even saved. It's incredible that I'm even saved. It shows you the grace of God. I mean, again, I'm not talking about situations that have to be dealt with. There's situations that need discipline and rebuke at times. But we are not to be biting each other, and we are not to be striking each other. And what are some of the reasons for that? I want you to look at this. This is just some of the reasons I found in the Bible through this, that it talks about offense. And you guys have that slide back there? Should be the next one or close to it. The reasons of biting and striking might be somebody gets offended, somebody's bitter, somebody's angry, selfish motives by someone, could be jealousy, and honestly, the list goes on and on. And that's why the Bible says, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your hearts. So 1 Peter 5:7 says this, if anybody's dealing with anything, cast all of your worries, cast all of your anxieties to him. Why? Because he cares for you. If there's anything that you're facing or going through as a church or individually, as a family, what an incredible promise here. That literally, when it means to cast, it means to take like a baseball and throw as hard as you can to God. God, here are my worries. And here is the offense that I have. And you're throwing that to God so that God can get in the mix of it and begin to mend it. As we close today, I want you to hear this. Jesus is coming back again. The Bible is very clear that he came a first time, he died, he rose again, he ascended back into heaven, he's coming back again. And verse 4 calls him this. Watch this, I love this. And it wraps up everything for us today. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. That is not just for pastors, that's for the church. Interesting how Peter addresses pastors and elders, okay, in the church, how he talked about Peter, saw the sufferings of Christ. Peter never took his eyes off of Jesus. And then we look now and it says the whole thing about this is that Jesus, the great shepherd, he's going to appear one day. So make sure you remain humble. Make sure you have unity. Make sure you do this thing right, because he will come back a second time for his church one day. Church, it puts it all into perspective. It is not about a person or the groups of people at the church. It's always about Jesus. And if you will honor Jesus and keep Jesus first, you'll be surprised at what he does in your life. It's amazing. And you got to keep number one, number one. So 2 Corinthians 5:10 puts it this way. It says, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil that we have done in this earthly body." I will tell you this, I am thankful for forgiveness today, because if I stood before God with the things that I had done previously in my past, I would be in trouble. Anybody else join the club? Thank God for his forgiveness. We can stand before him clean one day. And 1 Peter 5:8 tells us this, "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy." We have a great shepherd, right? But it also says we have a great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, watch this, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for a person in the church or a family in the church or a group in the church. He's looking for leaders in the church that he literally can pounce on and cause chaos and division. And man, if he does that, then your church is screwed up and messed up just like that. Fallout like crazy happens. Division, biting, striking, everything happens. And it says to watch out for that. I'm going to have our men come forward this morning. They're going to go ahead and begin to pass out communion to you. And in the communion, there's two cups together. There's a juice and a bread. And the reason we do communion is the Bible says, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of who? Me, Jesus said. So as we take communion this morning, we are remembering what Jesus did for us. He is not only the good shepherd, he is our great shepherd this morning. So these guys are going to pass these out while I finish up. Our worship team is going to come, and I want you to hear this next set of verses real quick. 1 Peter 5, 9 through 11. Here's what he tells the pastors. Here's what he tells the church. Stand firm against the devil and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. The devil's having a heyday, but stand firm. Keep the faith. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered for a little while, watch this, he will restore you, he will support you, he will strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to who? Him forever, church. I hope this morning you've heard the heart of a pastor from another heart of the pastor, from Peter. And I will tell you this, there's no perfect church. But if you will look at the heart of the leadership and you'll look at the heart of the people, I would say that 99% of anything that we face, we can make it through. Why not 100%? Because people are people. Stats might be a little low, but I kind of shoot for the stars. As we look at the screen, I wanted to finish with this today. Talking about pastors, talking about people in the church, everything, it all points back to Jesus. Whether you're a pastor or a congregant, whether you are in leadership or you have a behind-the-scenes role in the church, it doesn't matter. Everything is about Jesus. Everything points to Christ. Everything does. And as you're being served communion today, the reason we take communion is Jesus said, do this in remembrance of him. He suffered. The Bible says that he spilled his blood, that his body was beaten, that he took a crown of thorns, that he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. He was flogged. He was crucified. The Bible says he laid down his life for us so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. So that cup, those two cups you have in your hand today, this doesn't save you, okay? It doesn't do some miraculous thing in you. What it does is it's a token. It's symbolic. When you eat that bread and drink that cup today, you are remembering. remembering how Christ suffered for you. You're remembering that it is His church, okay? That He has made us stewards of His church. And I promise you this, I don't know how transparent churches are, but we will be as transparent with you if you ever have any questions about the church. If you've heard something, and I promise you, there's the craziest rumors out there. When Beth and I first took over as lead pastor, we just got voted in as lead pastor here. Somebody started a rumor that we were getting a divorce and I was moving to Canada. So, we're still together. I'm just telling you, it's amazing what Satan does through people. And when we heard that, we actually laughed instead of got mad. Because I'm like, what idiot started that out there? Is anybody with me? I'm like, my gosh, man, Satan, people just are used by Satan constantly. So as we look at this here, I hope today that we're just reminded of the humbleness that we need to have all together, because that's Peter's point there. Humble yourselves and then watch God work in a powerful way. So during this song, however you want to take communion, you are more than welcome to pray with your family. You can take communion during any of the time during the worship song, and then you are free to go after that. There's trash cans that are by all the doors. So thank you for hearing my heart on talking about something that's been pretty rough for me, because when you talk about your own position in the church, it's hard. It's hard to make sure you come across in the right way. So if you got offended by anything this morning, please come talk to me. Is anybody with me on that? That's a great place to start, all right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that as we go through the book of 1 Peter, you hit all kinds of stuff about the church. And Lord, we pray today that we would have a very humble heart before you. God, that we would, if there's anything in our lives that we need to ask for forgiveness for, that God, we would go to you in forgiveness today. We love you and thank you for being faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.